Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Unveiling the Mysteries of the Bible. This program is brought to you live by the JC Overcomers Ministries out of Nebraska City, Nebraska. I'm your hostess, Cheryl Fisher. My co-hostess is Lily from Texas. Her name on Blog Talk is SarahLee144. She now has a program called Golden Nuggets. She doesn't have anything in particular scheduled until when, Lee?
The 15th.
The 15th of November. So you got plenty of time to plan for that one. We're not sure what time it's going to be yet. Or do you know, Lee?
Oh, no.
Okay.
And all the help I can use.
Amen.
Advice, comments, anything y'all want to say.
All right. Okay, well, you're not too late, Revival, because we're just getting into this. All right. In the meantime, I want to invite you every Thursday night at midnight for this program. Lord willing, we'll be here. During these programs, I want to share with you some of the treasures I've found during my treasure hunt into the Word of God and some of the miracles I've seen along the way. Tonight, we're going to be doing our fourth part of The Four Horsemen of Revelation, Chapter 6. So I hope you're going to enjoy that. But before we get into that, I want to open this up with prayer, like I try to do each program, because I want the Lord to cleanse me from any sins that could have attached themselves to me during the day through any thoughts or anything that I've done that I shouldn't have. If we have sins, they can get in the way of the free movement of the Spirit of God. So I like to pray the scriptures themselves in order to do a little washing before I minister. The Word of God is our intercessor, so that's what I like to use as those cleansing prayers. And tonight I'm going to do Psalms 19, verses 12 to 14. Lord, I ask you to receive these words at my lips as a sacrifice offering for your glory. In Jesus' name, cleanse me from all my sins, Lord, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, who can understand his errors, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's see where we're at here. Lord, I ask you to go out to the airwaves and draw in whoever it is that you want to hear this program tonight. And also, Lord, to draw them to the archives, the ones that you want to hear the programs, Lord. I just ask you to send your spirit out and draw them in at your perfect timing. And I ask you to anoint the words as they are spoken in this program. Anybody that calls in, Lord, I ask you to guide them. I ask you, Lord, to not have any interruption in the flow of your spirit here tonight, Lord, that your perfect will goes forth and nothing else, Lord. I ask you to keep me out of my flesh, Lord, so that you can flow through me the way you want to. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Forgot that part. Thank you, sir. I said, sir, ma'am.
I mean, so be it.
Amen. Praise God. All right. He is the amen, by the way. Jesus is. I think there's a scripture that says that somewhere. All right.
I don't know.
As I took another look at the scriptures, I realized that I did not get into the very first scripture of Revelation chapter 6. And so I want to hit that before we get into that last horse. I want to hit this just a little bit before we get into the pale horse of verse number 8, that is. Revelation 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened. Oop, I forgot to start. I wanted to record this. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me. Praise God. I'm hoping to be able to use this for a radio program, other radio program. Okay, Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. The first part I want to cover, first off, is the Lamb. Just in case someone listening does not know who the Lamb is. And I want to welcome to My God's Heir to the chat room, and Revival Fire, and Minister Grock, and Denny's Gonzalez. Hope I said that right. I want to welcome y'all in here. And my co-host is Lily. Praise God. I don't want to forget
Hello.
That part. Praise the Lord for Lee. She's so faithful.
I think I've got that nickname forever lately. At least it sounds more feminine than Lee.
So it says, as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And the first part I want to cover is the Lamb, in case someone listening does not know who the Lamb is. Okay, John 1, verse 29 is where we're going to go. That's John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, I lost my place. I can't keep track of this and look at the chat box. Oh, Grock says he loves that accent, so I know it's not the Nebraska accent he's talking about, by the way. Says the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 33 of that same chapter of John 1. Verse 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. The Lamb of God is Jesus Christ, God's very own Son. But you also see that he is the one that takes away the sin of the world. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. seem ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Notice the words, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. How does our souls get purified? Through obedience of the truth. And we are the ones that purify our own souls, because it says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Through the Spirit, because the Spirit of God is what gives us the power to do that. But we have to apply it. We have to obey the truth. Okay. Purifying your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The words in here, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, is part of a pattern that goes throughout the word of God. And it talks about words that have been corrupted. And believe it or not, there are words out there today that have been corrupted. That word is such a pattern throughout the Bible. It would be really good, a good word search to do. Just look up the word corrupt or corrupting and corruptible or corrupted, those words, and look them up all the way through the Bible, and you're going to see a pattern that will just blow your socks off, your spiritual socks off, if you have any spiritual socks.
Soulless spirit. Soulless socks.
Yeah, your soul socks. Amen. Just as long as it don't blow our foundation away, that's what counts. As long as our feet are still shod with the gospel of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So God talks about a corruptible seed. There is a corruptible and there's an incorruptible. Okay. The truth cannot be corrupted. All right, so the word of God, the Lamb of God, liveth and abideth forever. And obeying it is how our souls are purified. So we have seen who the Lamb is. Now I want to cover the noise of thunder. For that we go to John 12, verse 28. Revival says barefoot. I'm missing a lot of this chat. I hope I remember to get it all when we're done. So if you guys
have our clock.
If you guys are trying to get my attention, you're going to have to put it in there over and over and over again. Okay, John 12, verse 28. Father, glorify. Oh, wait a minute. I don't know if I hit this. So the word of God, the Lamb of God, liveth and abideth forever. And obeying it is how our souls get purified. Yeah, I covered that. So we have seen who the Lamb is. Okay, yeah, we're going to do the thunder next. All right, John 12, 28. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified and will glorify. The people thereof stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. So here you see, God's voice was like thunder. Job 40, verse 9. Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Amen. Rosemary says, I bet my socks will be blown off soon. Praise God for socks getting blown off. Amen. We want bare feet anyways. The Lord, for quite a while now when I'm in church, he has me take my shoes off, so I got to make sure my feet are clean. No, they're always clean for church. That's about the only time. All right, the reason thunder is heard when the seals are opened is because the seals are on the word of God. So when the seals open, God's voice speaks. When I looked up the word thunder in the Bible, it always referred in some way to the voice of God or his word or some manifestation of the thunderings in the clouds. Now let's get back into the four horsemen scriptures where we left off last time. Oh, Lord, what are they writing now? Hey, Rosemary says our God is an awesome God. Uh-oh, yeah. Brock says he wants what? That's why he's single.
Why? What did he say?
Brock said, everybody hear that? Brock said, want women barefoot and pregnant. Now we know why he's single. Signal. Poor Grok, bad guy. All right, Revelation 6, verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. Right there it tells you who's sitting on the horse. Death. And hell followed with him. Because after death, you get cast into the lake of fire. Okay, and power was given unto him, unto them, over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger. Notice it's killing with these things, okay? This is very, very important. When you do the Word of God, you need to look at every single word. They are critical.
Where are you? Chapter 6?
I am in chapter 6 of Revelation, verse 7, the last part.
Okay.
Or no, verse 8, the last part. And power was given unto them over, so that's more than one, that's hell and death, okay? Power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Okay, there's a spiritual picture here. It's not going to be what you think it is. I want to point out something here, that it says to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. How do you kill someone with death? Think about it. When you look at these scriptures from the viewpoint of our flesh, we see things somewhat as follows. If I kill someone with a sword, then I have injured their flesh to the point of death, with that instrument of death. If I kill someone with hunger, then I have kept them from receiving food, and thereby they die. Eventually, if I kill someone with the beast of the earth, then I have probably managed to get them in contact with ravenous animals, right? Okay, that's what our flesh wants to think. But remember, God is a spirit. His ways are higher than our ways. This is a spiritual picture God gives us in his word. Okay, but to kill someone with death is a little bit more complicated to figure out. Somehow, I would have to hand them death itself, and they would have to receive it, wouldn't they? But how do all these things fit together logically? And God is very logical, and everything does fit perfectly. If it doesn't look like it's fitting right, our interpretation of it is going to be wrong. Okay. But how do these things fit together logically? If you're looking at them from your flesh, they cannot fit. But if you look at them through God's Spirit, his viewpoint, they do fit together perfectly. Okay, Romans 8, verse 6 is our next verse. Let me see if I'm missing anything. They're still talking about socks. Oh, Grok. No, that was Rosemary. She's getting in there, right in there with the Grok. Oh, my gosh. Talking about smelly socks. All right. I keep losing my place. Okay, Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. There's your death. If you kill someone with death, you've got them to be carnally minded. Okay? For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Right in this scripture alone, we get a huge clue. How can we be carnally minded, though? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Notice the words, known the mind of the Lord. He wants us to know and understand the way he thinks. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's through his spirit. If you think like God, who is a spirit, you will live and have peace. Or think like the world or serpent spirit, and death will be the result. Just like in the Garden of Eden, they either believed God and lived, or they believed what the serpent said and died. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk. See, the milk's for us while we're still in the carnal flesh and still have those flesh desires. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. See, that's what you still got to have the milk of the word, because you're still thinking about things through the flesh instead of having that spiritual realization in your minds. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? See, that's walking through the flesh instead of walking in the spirit. So if I can get you to think and walk carnally, I will actually be killing you with death. And that scripture will be fulfilled. If we walk in the flesh, we'll die. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 3. I guess this is where I was going anyway. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, remember the weapons that was talking about also. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against, this is the imaginations and the high things in our mind. That is what exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Okay, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So if we're thinking something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, we're thinking carnally. Okay? The war is actually in our minds. Let me check on the thing here and see if Brock's acting up yet.
He's having fun.
I don't see him. They're talking about jokes, though, so I don't know what's going on.
1 Corinthians 10 and 3, was that the one we just went to?
Yep.
Okay, because I missed something about being carnally minded.
And then the next one will be 2 Corinthians 11, 2. So the war is in our minds, and it's in those thoughts are the battlefield. It is flesh against spirit. It's our flesh battling against the spiritual side. Okay. We are the flesh, and God is the spirit. And so we have to bring the flesh into submission. If what we believe and do does not line up with what God's word says that we are supposed to believe and do, then we have replaced God in our minds with our own imaginations instead. We literally place ourselves as God when we think anything above the word of God. We don't ever want to do that because we make ourselves our own God. And isn't that the New Age teaching that's out there? That
yeah,
all
I was
God?
Just reading about some of that today.
There you go. Fits right in. That's because they're carnal. They're not thinking spiritually. Mm-hmm. Okay, 2 Corinthians 11, 2. For I am jealous over you. This is God. He is jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. This shows that when we have the seed of God, the word of God in us, we are espoused to him. We become his bride. Okay, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. So this battle is still going on in every one of us every day. It says in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 11, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted. There's, remember that word I told you about corrupted being a pattern? Well, here it is again. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. It all comes down to what you're going to believe. In the Garden of Eden, they chose to believe the serpent's words instead of what God told them. That is the same battle that is going on in us all day, every day. But how do you know what to believe if you do not line everything up with what the Word of God, the knowledge of God, actually teaches? You don't. There's no way. So you need to know the Word, or you can receive death instead of life. And instead of having the mind of Christ, you have another. And instead of being influenced by the Spirit of God, you end up being influenced by the spirit of the serpent, just like Eve was. That's why we have to know Jesus Christ. Because when we really know him, we'll know what's true and what isn't. It also talks of another Jesus and another gospel. Well, the gospel is the Word of God. So if you're going to have another gospel that's going to be an imposter, it's going to be an imposter of the true Word of God. Just like in the Garden of Eden, he added a not. He added one word to the Word of God. God said, ye shall surely die. The serpent said, ye shall not surely die. That's all he does. He adds to the Word of God, or he takes away from the Word of God in order to convince us to believe him instead of God. He'll change God's words. Okay, Genesis 3, verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know, in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Let us look at the ways she was tempted. First, it would open her eyes, and it was desired to make her wise, knowing what was good and what was evil. She would be as a god, and she would not die. What does God's word, his gospel, promise us? Ephesians 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So the gospel of our salvation is the word of truth. Well, if it's another gospel, it's going to be a gospel, a word of lies. It's going to contain lies in it. Okay. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That all comes through the Word of God. The wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So the more we study, the more we find out about God. Revival Fire's over there warning about them spiritual woodpeckers again. Them are moths, guy. They eat holes in our garments because we're the lambs. Okay.
What scripture was that you just read about the wisdom and the knowledge?
That's Ephesians 1, verse 17. Now,
oh, okay. I had Ephesians written down. Okay.
Okay. Here's verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his I got this in here, and I don't know how the rest of the verse goes because it didn't print out right. I should have checked me. Okay, I got to look it up. Praise God for my Bible. Hold on. Ephesians 1.
18.
18.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Inheritance in the saints. That was didn't print out in mine.
Okay.
On my teaching. I hope these other pages are better than that. Otherwise, I'm going to run out of time. Okay, I got to turn the page. All right. Everything the serpent tempted her with was what God was going to give them for obedience to his word. Isn't that awesome? God gives us knowledge, wisdom, and inheritance as the sons of God. Life and enlightening of our eyes. Remember, there was also a tree of life in that Garden of Eden that they could have eaten from. One gives life and the other gave death. Man's imagination through the influence of the serpent is what caused them to make graven images. Just like the first part of imagination, the word imagination starts with the word image. God knows what words to use in his Bible, don't he? The first part of graven is what? Grave. Which is the result of our vain imagination. It's the grave. Praise God. All right, you see, God knows just what words to use in that Bible. So they all fit together amazingly to form the picture we need to see. I also want you to see that whatever we do from our heart, whether we serve God or man. That is why we have to have our hearts circumcised, because they are evil. Circumcision removes the hard outer layer of our hearts so the seed of the word can get in and reproduce. These guys are having fun in the chat room. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49. Grock would put Cheryl Ruth rules. No, Jesus rules. Hey, that's right. We get to sit on the throne with him, though, don't we? Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Okay, there's two images, guys. Notice that? Image of the earthy and image of the heavenly. Does that remind you of the image of the beast, maybe? So, verse 50 says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. So we're the ones that's corruptible. We put on the incorruptible word of God. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. We put on our covering of Jesus Christ by putting the word within us and obeying it. Verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We put it on. We put life on, and death gets swallowed up by it. Isn't that awesome? Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Remember, vain imagination. Our work is not supposed to be in our own vain imagination. So it says, For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. I want you to see that it is possible for us to be completely consumed with the Word of God to the point that mortality, our very existence is swallowed up in immortality. Our flesh dies and life replaces it. Remember also how the devil wants to do everything he can to prevent this from happening. James 5, verse 2. Your riches are corrupted. There's that word again. And your garments are moth-eaten. How can a garment be moth-eaten spiritually and riches corrupted? Here's that woodpecker coming back again. All right, Isaiah 51, verse 7, because he's always talking about the woodpecker pecking holes in us. So it would be like the moth-eaten garment eating holes in our covering. Okay, Isaiah 51, verse 7. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of the revilings, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. So if we're depending on our own righteousness, it's as filthy rags. And why is it rags? Because the moth ate holes in it. Praise God. And that makes it rags, don't it? And you know what? The nakedness of our sin will show right through those moth-eaten garments of rags. Okay, if you trust in flesh instead of God, you will be eaten up like a moth does a wool garment, because we are his sheep, and moths love wool. If you are covering yourself with something that is full of holes, like a moth would eat the wool clothing, then your nakedness or your sin will show through the holes. And what are sheep covered in but wool? And that is what moths are attracted to. And so God uses the word moth in there. And a lot of these Bibles will even change the words moth. Is somebody leaving? Everybody's waving. I don't know if somebody's going to leave or not. Maybe they're just saying hi. All right. Now we go to Isaiah 25, verse 6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast. Now we're getting into those feasts, guys. A feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the leaves, of fat things, full of marrow, of wines on the leaves, well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people. So there's two coverings. And it also says, and the veil that is spread over all nations. See, what does a bride use but a veil that she covers her face with? Well, there's two kinds of veils that the Bible talks about. We're either married to Jesus Christ or we're married to Satan. Well, Satan casts his veil over us because he claims us as his bride, okay? And this verse actually says, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. Because he's claimed this for himself, the devil has. But God's taken us back with his garment of righteousness instead. Verse 8 says, he will swallow up death in victory. There's that rider on that horse again. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. That death, it talks about, oh, death, where is thy sting? That's because mortality gets swallowed up of immortality. The veil talked about here is the veil of the enemy who has claimed the world as his bride. Remember, he deceiveth the whole world. Every one of us has been deceived at some point. That veil also was rent at the death of Jesus Christ. That's where it started being removed from us, was through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The shadow of the enemy that we have allowed to cover us will be taken away forever. The refined wine is the pure word of God, the blood of the Lamb. In its strength as our covenant from death, it purifies us and washes us and covers us completely, so no sin can show through any longer. But there is another covenant as well. Isaiah 28, verse 5. I hope I'm going to be able to get this done. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink and are out of the way. They're not walking with Christ any longer. The devil's lured them. He seduced them out of the way into his broad way instead. It says, but they also have erred through wine. It's through the devil's wine. Okay, he's got his wine too, and he's got his strong drink just like God does. But his is a deception. It's another spirit. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priests and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They get swallowed up by the lies instead of the truth. They're covering themselves in their own righteousness, which is as filthy rags, instead of the covering of God. It says, have erred through strong drink. That's a spirit of error. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way. They're out. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They're not with him. They're out of his way into another's. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. This other spirit even gives them vision. They stumble in judgment. The word of God is what we use to judge. That is our judge. So they stumble in judgment. It's a stumbling block to them because it's lies from the enemy instead of truth. Verse 8 even goes so far as to say, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. That's the lies of the devil. They come to the wedding supper, but what they're consuming is the lies of the devil, which result in death, just like in the Garden of Eden, instead of the true word of God. That the true word of God has been replaced with a lie. We're supposed to eat at the Lord's table, drinking his wine and his blood. But here you see there is a wine that causes man to err, including the prophets and priests, and has gotten them out of the way of Jesus, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So they've gotten out of his ways into somebody else's ways instead. Verse 15, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death. Here's a covenant with death, actually, in the Bible. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come nigh unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. They're actually believing this is the true word of God, when it's actually lies and falsehood. That is the battle, whether you have the true word of God or whether you have a lie from the devil. From the very beginning, all he does is add or take away from the word of God. And if we trust in his garment instead of God's, it will swallow us up in the spirit of death eventually. Because it says, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. We're supposed to hide in Jesus Christ, not in a false Christ. Verse 17, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. There's two waters out there. There's the waters that wash us clean, and there's other waters that have been muddied with the feet of man. It's his own righteousness. When they took these Bibles and they rewrote them, men decided that they could make God better, easier to understand. And they didn't know the patterns were in the Word of God. You have seen just through a little bit of this teaching how mighty those patterns are within his word, how perfect his word is. But when they went and rewrote these new Bible versions, they didn't know God had those patterns in there. And so the keys of understanding are gone from them, and they don't even realize it. It's actually a spirit of error instead of the spirit of truth. And it literally will swallow us up in that spirit if we allow it to. So shout, but there's two waters, okay? There's dirty waters. If we're washing ourselves with dirty waters, we'll never be clean. Verse 18, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell. It's an agreement with hell. If we've got the wrong word, it's literally a covenant with death and an agreement with hell. Your agreement with hell shall not stand. It can't stand. The word of God is all that's going to be left standing in the end. It says, and your agreement with hell shall not stand when the overflowing scourge shall pass through. Then shall you be trodden down by it. It's because the sand, if you're building your house on pieces of the rock, your house is going to fall. Your house has to be built on the whole rock. If they take part of the word of God out and leave out part of the verses, you're building your house on sand. And eventually that house is going to fall because you need every word of God to live. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So if they take pieces out, we're going to fall in the end. The only covenant we need to concern ourselves with is the covenant written in the word of God that the devil has tried to change from the beginning. So if we have made a covenant with death, like that horseman. Instead, we have again been listening to the wrong voice, and the result of that is eternity in hell. If the word of God that you are using cannot prove itself out like this one has done here, then you have a covenant with death, and hell will be the result, just like that fourth horseman. The rider was death, and hell followed with him. The new Bibles cannot even come close to the perfectness of the true Word of God. If he can create a DNA structure, if God can create a DNA structure in our bodies, he can certainly keep his word perfected for those who truly seek him. The other covenants cannot compare. And God tells through his word over and over again how that you've got two different rivers of water, you've got two swords. Their rock is not as our rock. You know, it's just awesome how God's word is just perfect. And in these new Bibles, they'll change the moth to something else. So you'll never get the picture that a moth is attracted to wool. And what are sheep made of? What are they covered in? Wool. So if they're depending on their own covering, the moth will eat it up. Death kills with sword by changing the sword of the Lord of glory, which is the true word of God, to something that cannot possibly completely cover your sin, thereby allowing our sins to show through those moth holes, which are the scriptures that have been removed from the true word of God. For example, the NIV, if you turn to Acts 8, verse 37, good luck. And Luke 4:4, they leave out, it says, man does not live by bread alone, but they don't tell you what he does live by. They took out, but by every word of God. The NIV also turned the headstone of the corner into the capstone. And who is the God of the capstone? The sun god out of Egypt. Death kills with sword by changing the sword of the Lord of glory, which is the word of God, to something that cannot possibly cover our sin. And that allows those moth holes to eat holes in our garments. Whether the word is spoken, written, or just church doctrine that does not line up with the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ, believe it or not, it is still death, and the result is hell. They have changed the word, removing the critical keys that God put in it to make it solvable. But his word, in the end, there's only one word of God that's going to stand the test of time. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. There is one of the beasts that consumed man. And he has many helpers out there, many voices talking to you that do not line up with the word of God. But how will you know if you don't know the true shepherd? You can't. The famine is the famine for the word of God because it's been changed. As it says in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, that famine kills us with death itself by replacing the true word of God with another gospel and another Jesus. And that's why if you preach another gospel, you're accursed according to the word of God. Because it's not God's word, it's another one. And the result is death. Did you know that you can literally hand somebody a Bible and you literally hand them death instead of life? Look at the Book of Mormon, for example. It's a book of death instead of life. It's another gospel. The sting of sin is death. Anything that does not line up with the true word of God is sin. Romans 6, verse 23, because it's an idol. It's someone else. It's another God instead of the true God. Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So if we're allowing an idol to replace the Lord of glory in our hearts, he sitteth in the temple of God, proclaiming himself that he is God. If we're worshiping and we're using something that's not the true word, who are we worshiping? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Revelation 1, verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Make sure you have the only one that has the keys. Because the keys of understanding are within the Word of God, within the true Word of God. Those keys have been taken out of those new versions. You try to look up a word search of the word dragon, for example. One time he's a monster. One time he's a reptile. One time he's a dragon. So the pattern's completely gone. You cannot get the picture from him because the consistency is gone. And there was a spirit, you know, God inspired his word. Well, guess what? The devil inspired his word. He inspired men to change the word of God. Revelation 1, verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys to hell and death, of hell and death. They're all within the word of God. 2 Timothy 1, verse 10, ooh, we only got 5 minutes to go. Boy, I'm barely going to get this. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's where the life is, guys. It's in the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not another gospel. It's the true one. And we're expected to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. And there is one out there that's provable. James 5, verse 20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. So if we're in error from the truth, the result is death. But shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So that takes care of that last horseman of Revelation 6. I hope you guys have got something out of this. If somebody wants to call in real quick, we got about 4 minutes. So have at it here. I'm going to have to check this chat because I haven't seen a whole lot that's been in here. Do you have anything to say, Lisa?
The keys to hell and the grave, we don't get those keys, right?
The keys are in the Word of God. They're all there for us.
But hell and the grave, that's what I meant. He holds those, doesn't he?
Who is he? He's the Word. Jesus is the Word. He has
yeah.
keys. So the keys are in the Word. That's the understanding of the Word of God. When we have the understanding, the knowledge of God is what tears down all the strongholds and the things that exalt itself against the Word of truth. So the keys are all within the Word of God, and he has them there waiting for us because he is the Word. Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm.
So all we have to do is seek until we find. Yeah, Revival Fire, please call in. So if you really want to survive death, you're going to look for the life, aren't you?
Yeah, fine.
Until you find him. Praise God. He's so awesome. You got anything else, Lee? Otherwise, I'm going to throw my
website. No, I want you to answer his call. He's going to call in.
If
he calls in. Huh?
Nobody's called. There's only 3 minutes.
If he calls in, it will keep going and recording while we're talking. If he's
yeah.
on the phone.
Yeah, but nobody's on but me. I'm all by myself.
Revival Fargo.
It's just me and you. Nobody's called in.
Oh,
we're all by
okay.
our lonesome here.
Okay, well, back to the keys, I really was thinking about the hell part. It's like there's such a controversy over different types of hell and all that,
yeah.
and I never really thought about the keys, that he has the keys to death and hell. I just assumed, you know, it was for whoever's going to go, you know.
Well, he's given us the keys. It's all in his word. And if we find him, we find the keys. All right, I got somebody on here.
Okay.
Hi.
Oh,
got?
Praise God. This is Revival Fire. Praise you, Jesus.
I was wondering where you are.
I was calling in. Praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's about the King. We got to have him in our hearts. We got to have him on the throne of our hearts. And it's what it's all about, is love. And,
amen.
And Cheryl.
We don't want another one sitting there, do we?
Do what?
We don't want another one sitting in our heart in his place either, do we?
Oh, no. We don't want to let Jesus be dethroned off our hearts. No way.
Amen.
I tell you, I cherish the fire. I cherish the fire that is burning inside of me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That is what it's all about. And I protect that fire with prayer and intercessory prayer and in the word and just fellowshipping. Spreading love everywhere I go. Hallelujah. Unconditional love. Just as happy as a tick on a dog in the woods. You know, just as happy as can be.
Amen. We got the blood of the lamb, though, huh?
Amen. Amen. I take a pump sprayer and pump spray myself every day with that blood. You know, covered from head to toe in the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God
Jesus.
Is so awesome.
Oh, man, he is awesome, man. He's doing a mighty work. If we just keep out of our
Lord.
Fleshly ways, I just
Amen.
Step aside and let him do it, you know?
Amen.
I'm
well,
just
I sure
to
want
be...
to thank everybody for being here. We're on our
yeah.
last minute here.
Uh-oh. I'll get
well,
off the phone,
we'll keep going as long as we're on the phone if he wants to ask another question. I'll say something else.
Yeah, we can keep talking. They just won't be able to hear us.
No, it'll be in the archives.
Amen, amen.
Yeah, it's still being recorded in the archives. Glory to God, you know. Somebody in this world is going to pick it up.
Amen.
That's why I keep telling everybody, this is a worldwide ministry we're doing here, folks.
Amen.
This isn't
isn't
just,
that awesome?
Yeah, it's just not the people in the chat room. Did you realize that the people that are listeners, Cheryl, I'm sure you do, that they're sinners that are just stopping by because God hit a kill switch button on their computer. They can't get They can't move on. They're right there. You know, they're listening. I mean, and
hey,
then all of a sudden,
we ought to pray for that.
Yeah, God hits a kill switch on their vehicle of the Holy Ghost, you know, running across the internet, and they just stop right on your show or my show.
Amen.
Glory to
God.
Well,
I want to thank everybody for being here. Okay, the seconds are going real quick. I want to thank everybody for being here. I love you all. God bless you.
I love you all, too.
Amen. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it.
Amen.
Even with the pressure.
Well, pressure.
Okay, are we going to talk some more?
Yeah, if you guys want to talk some more, we can stay on.
Oh, I can always talk, but I'm going to let
you talk. I can always
talk,
too. They can't shut me up.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of people out there who probably want to shut me up, but it's not going to happen, glory to God. I'm just going to keep on for the King, just like you ladies, you sisters in the Lord, just keeping on, keeping on. Hey, I met this lady. I did a show over on TalkShoe. I don't know if you all are familiar with TalkShoe, but I did a show over there, and this woman of God come on. Yes, that's the name of it. It's called TalkShoe.com. And
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's like BTR. But see, you can go 2 hours for free on there, and you can schedule it anytime you want. It's neat, man. It's just another avenue the Lord just opened up for me, you know. And
wait a minute, I think I'm already on there.
You know, there's something wrong with me, I think, because I've lost my headset. I have no mic. I have no speakers. It's like
sure
everything went wrong.
It's them woodpeckers that got in there.
That's why I had to wait and just put off my program to the 15th. And it's like, geez, you know, either God doesn't want me on here or the devil doesn't, one or the other.
Well, I think if the Lord wants you on there, just them woodpeckers got in there and destroyed your stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
I'm tired. I'm serious what I'm saying here. You know, you hear on BTR, sisters, that all this about devil this, devil that, devil this, you know, I'm not giving him no credit. I'll call him a spiritual woodpecker. You know, I'm tired of hearing about devils. I'm not upset at any of you sisters or anything, but I'm just burnt out on it, you know. And I know what the word says. Yep. We got to know our enemy, and he is the devil. He's a lion that's lost his dentures out there in the desert somewhere. And he needs a little bit of that denture cream to put it back in there, but he can't find none, glory to God, because we are joint heirs with Jesus.
Amen.
And
you know, a lot of times we end up glorifying the devil instead of God, and we really need to get back to lifting up the light, because when the light is high, that's when the darkness has to go. And so if we can focus on the Lord and keep lifting him up, the enemy's going to be gone.
That's the reason why when I go into a bat cave, I pass out spiritual sunglasses because the light's just blinding. You know, I can't help it. I'm sorry. I'll pass out spiritual sunglasses to tone it down a little bit for them. But I'm not going to let the light be toned down out of my life, glory to God. The humans got herd mentality, like a herd of cattle. They've got herd mentality. That's what I call it, is herd mentality, because people are swayed by other people. They're not persuaded and moved by God. They've got that herd mentality, and they look like a cow looking at a new gate sometimes when you say something, you know. It's like, really, do I have to do that? What? That's too much for me. No, all he's wanting you to do is just get out and do it, you know. And them
you know
cows
what that reminds me of?
What's
that?
That
is eating of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's
yeah,
reasoning.
Exactly.
Man
exactly.
Reasoning.
You know, and they're tainted. That's right, and they're tainted in from the gospel. You know, there's poison in the water, you know. We've got to throw that bitter tree branch in there, which is Jesus, to make it sweet again.
Exactly.
Glory to God.
There it is.
Jesus. You know, and we got to throw it in there. You know, I'm over there with a chainsaw cutting it down, throwing it in the water, you know.
Or the handful of meal.
Yeah.
The handful of meal is the seed of the word that goes in.
Come on,
And the death that's in the pod is no longer death.
No, it's a lie.
You get the rest of the word in there, you get the truth in there, and the death is gone.
Amen. You know, it's that funnel of love that brings in that word, you know, into the hearts of the people. You know, you've just got to just keep pouring it in, pouring it in. You know, people out there, like I said, back here to the world, people listening all over the world, you know, somebody's going to listen to this, and somebody's going to get delivered and set free from this teaching tonight, Sister Cheryl.
Well,
and
I hope
Lee.
So. Praise God.
You know, they are. Well, there's no hope, so they are. That's what the Word says, because the Word will set them free. You know, they come over here, you know, and they what they do, and people, I don't know if you realize it, I'm sure you probably do, but these tags, when you set up your show and you put in there these little words, you know, like I put in Holy Ghost, delivered, set free, the King, and all these little words in there, that's what people punch in there, and your show will pop up, you know, in their search, you see, and, and it'll snag them, and a lot of times, I'm believing they get the show on there and it hit the stop button and it won't stop. It'll keep on going. And they'll get that.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord does that here on BTR. You try to stop something and it won't stop. You know, well, it's working the same way with the gospel. It won't stop. And they're convicted by the word of God coming out of the person that is doing the show or a co-host and a host. Like you sisters were doing tonight, somebody's got set free from just a couple words that was being said. That's how powerful the Word of God is.
Yeah,
because
I
got a whole page of notes and scriptures.
You're quick, girl.
Yeah,
she's a
ticker
tape. All the time, it seems like.
Yeah,
His Word does not go out void.
That's right.
It
just
can't.
Don't get bloated in the Word now. You can do that. You can
don't get
bloated.
What?
Bloated.
Oh.
You know, like if you eat too much, you get bloated. You know, if you sit down today, eat some of that good roast beef and gravy and all that other good fixes that Cheryl fixed tonight. Yeah, you'd sit there and you could get bloated. I've got to digest this stuff. You know, I've got stuff. You know,
but
get a little gas.
You hear
gas.
It over and over and over, and then it just, that seed is growing in there.
That's right.
And a lot of things I just don't remember. And then Cheryl will bring it up, and I'll say, you know.
Well, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, I tell people all the time that they need to go and download the shows and listen to it more than one time. Just like with Cheryl's teaching, you've got to hear it more than one time, you know, and that's just the way it is. That's the way the Lord has instructed us to do, is to go back and hear, because my little peon brain cannot fathom all the scriptures that Cheryl read off tonight. I've got to hear it over and over, because they're rich. They're filet mignon steaks that she was throwing out tonight. I mean, they
you know
were.
What,
they, what's that?
You know what, though? It's not me, because
no,
there
it's,
are times
it's God.
When, yeah, there are times when I'll be doing these programs and I don't have the stuff written down, like when Lee will have me do a program spur of the moment.
Yeah.
And I'll sit here and God will give me this stuff and I don't remember half of it or even a fourth of it. And I go back and I listen to it and I think, oh, God, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's called being led of the Holy Ghost.
Teaching myself.
Yeah.
Right,
the anointing.
And you also,
because
you had them words.
Doing it.
And you had them scriptures down inside of you, sis.
Yeah, but
you know, that's
when he
the thing.
Goes through at the timing, and when he puts it all together, you know, I'll go back and listen to it, and he's teaching me from it, you know, because when I'm speaking it, I'm not really getting that much, so I go back and listen to it, and
come
then
on.
I'm getting the teaching too, but it's just, you know, I'm just sitting here, and he's just doing it, you know, so it's cool, it's awesome.
Amen. Amen and
then
amen.
He has a teaching on the tree, starting on, and I got into the trees, and it's amazing.
Yeah,
so much is revealed through those trees in that garden.
And it's all,
right.
It's so simple, it's the seed. It's either the true word, or it's the lie from the devil.
Right.
It's either one or the other, and it's so simple. You either have faith in the lie that the devil's telling you, or you're having faith in what God says.
Amen.
And one ends in death and the other ends in life.
Amen.
And it's
not
Revival Fire. What is the name of your show?
Fire of the Holy Ghost. Well, it's Fire of the Holy Ghost.
I thought it was called Revival Fire.
No, it's Fire of the Holy Ghost, but I'm the host, Revival Fire.
Okay, I always punch in revival fire.
Yeah, that'll work.
I think I was on your first show.
You were? Yeah, I think you were too.
Powerful teaching. I love hearing your program. It's awesome.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. It's just all God, man. It's like with Sister Cheryl and you, Sister Lee, you know, it's just, I'm trying to just get out of the way and let him do whatever he wants to do, because there's sometimes that I'll do the studying and I'll get something all worked up, and right before the show starts, I've got to take it and throw it through the spiritual shredder and just shred the whole thing, or an Etch-A-Sketch, you know, erase it all, and just go with what he's got, because he just wanted to see if I'm going to study, see?
Yep.
He's wanting to see if I'm going to be obedient.
That's true righteousness to me.
Yeah. And
self-righteousness is don't do their own thing.
Yeah. And I just, because all of his shows is like you, you sisters, these shows are all his shows. You know, you've dedicated them to the Lord, and you just do whatever he tells you to do, be that obedient servant. And you probably don't, and our peon brains can't figure out why it's going that way. But in all, we know that he's the one doing it, and he'll get all the glory, because I don't want none of it. I don't want nothing.
It wouldn't do us any good anyway.
No, I'd just be like an old blowfish. Yeah, you know what a blowfish looks like, don't you, in the ocean?
Yeah.
You ever seen one? Well, that's what you'd look like. You're all puffed up, you know?
Yeah,
just
and
a big old...
take a pin to pop it, too.
Yeah, just a big old blowfish, and he's the one that comes over there and will pop it. You know, and I don't, and I've been that down that road in my earlier experiences walking with the Lord. Got out there and got puffed up, and then got run over too.
Hey, the devil tries to get us all there. He tries to get us.
And
right.
It's a school of hard knocks. You know, I've got a doctorate degree in the school of hard knocks of walking with the Lord.
You
know, and you don't forget it. You know, you don't forget them boo boos. You know. Like I was telling somebody the other day, when a toddler starts walking, they'll fall down a whole bunch of times and hit their head on a coffee table, you know. But they get back up, and they do a lot of squalling. They get back up, and they just keep on going. Before too long, they're running around the house, you know. So they've learned their lessons. And
well,
I
look at us, the spiritual children, the same deal.
Okay.
Yeah. You
well,
know,
we
and,
do, don't we?
Yeah, and I try to make that as few as possible. Because I'm running out of Band-Aids, you know, so. You got a bunch of goose eggs all over my head.
Oh, God.
But God is an awesome God, man. I just give him all the glory for these shows. I don't care. I you know, like I told somebody, and I'll end to this, I could care less if Planet X slams into this earth and kills us all. Because we're going to heaven, glory to God. I don't care if the little gray guys come down in their saucers and try to take us up. I could care less. I could care less if the Muslims come out here and try to whack our heads off. I'll be the first one running in the line, if the Lord says so, to get it done so I can get out of here, because I want to go home and be with the King is what I'm after.
But you know what?
Yeah.
God has his plans, too.
Come on.
Like there's too much fear-mongering out there.
Exactly.
Come on.
I'm
just
scared. Say.
Well, see,
it
now,
puts a spirit of fear in people.
Yeah,
and
see,
God
now
has
all these,
not given us a spirit of fear.
That's right. You know, all these shows now, everybody's flogging to them that are so-called spirit-filled Christians because they're passing out Twinkies.
Yeah.
These shows are passing out spiritual Twinkies to them. They're appeasing their flesh. And that's
there
what they're
is.
Running to, you know?
Yep.
And
yep.
So... And I've been trying to, you know.
Well, they're running scared, too.
Yeah.
A lot of them want to know what's going to happen. But it's like, where's the preaching about what God's going to do? Where's the preaching about tabernacles?
That's right. Come on. I know what's going to happen.
No.
Jesus wants them to get saved, you know. They want to get ready, real, and right, you know. So
but I'm going to be preaching on tabernacles. So when that gets in there, a little here, a little there.
But God's
that's
a good
your mortality
God.
Getting swallowed up of immortality.
Yeah.
The fullness of Christ dwelling in us.
Well, the human mind cannot wrap around eternity, you know, unless you're hooked into the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's just point blank. If you're,
I think I'm hooked in at times, but it's still so far beyond me. It just.
Yeah. Well, I just accept it. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
What it'll be with the Lord.
Wow.
You know, that's just the way it is. You know,
we're
and I just try to
a little taste of it.
Yeah, we're just a little taste of it. But I tell you, sisters, the Lord's fixing to do a mighty work. He's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh, on BTR. And we're going to see a mighty, God is getting ready to do a drop, a napalm love bomb, you know, right in the middle of BTR. It needs it right now, praise God. And, you know, things are going to materialize, and we're going to stand back and just go, wow.
Yeah.
That's all we can do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I can say to describe it. And there's no English word that I know in the dictionary to describe what God's fixing to do.
Amen.
And we get little glimpses of it here and there. It's just,
yes.
You know, it's all our minds can handle.
I'm saying, oh, Lord, where have I been? Where have I been?
Yeah. He's so awesome. And we got is just taste.
That's right.
The things that he will do for those that love him. Oh.
Yeah.
We can't even fathom it.
But see, here the thing is, people have a tendency, because they're got that hidden agenda in their subconscious mind, they can't give out the unconditional love because they want something in return. And that's where we have to get out of that mentality, mindset, thinking.
Yep, yep, that's that carnal nature still trying to rear its ugly head.
Yeah, every day I put a super glue on my flesh on the cross, and I'm a carpenter, I use my air nailer and nail it to the cross every day, not literally.
There it is.
It's just because if not, my flesh wants to just crawl like an inchworm right off of it, you know. So the only way that I can do that is by prayer and fasting and in the
flesh. It will happen.
Yeah.
Whether easy or hard.
Either our way or his way, it's still going to happen.
That's
willingly
right.
Or not, our knees
amen.
Are still going to be on our knees.
Amen.
Because every knee is going to bow, and there ain't no way around it. So we might as well do it the easy way instead of the hard way.
Yep. You know, I don't want the rocks to cry out, you know, so that's where I'm at with the salvation and, you know, what?
Well, thank you for getting on here. I really appreciate it, Mike.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome anytime, man. I just try to be a blessing, man. I try not to be a boat anchor.
Well, you are a blessing big time. Let me
Thanks.
Tell you, both of you. I really appreciate it.
I really appreciate
you.
You
are, too.
What I was telling you on the chat earlier about the what the vision I saw of the oil.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about that? It was imagine the incense going up, the prayers and incense going up to heaven. You know how it would be like the smoke, you know, the incense going up from the prayers as they waved that thing. Well, it looked like just like the incense, but as we were praying, you could see that little cloud go into the bottle of oil in the spirit.
Wow.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
And saw
Amen.
It twice. We prayed over another bottle and it went into that one.
Wow.
It was,
and see,
it was
I kept
cool.
saying a double anointing. And I had somebody rebuke me on a little Facebook thing because I said double anointing. They said, oh, no. And I thought, but that's all that kept coming to my mind. And she also, I didn't say that. I said it.
Yeah.
Well, and then the Lord give me, it's double because the Father and the Son, he said, we will come to him.
Come on.
That's in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Elijah
yep.
and Elisha was the Old
Well, there's a double anointing. It's the Father and Son both. Coming
well, you,
through
you
the
could
Spirit.
Draw a triple anointing. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Well, it's through the Spirit.
Yeah.
So there you go. You got it all right.
But I mean, if he
Amen.
Showed it, what was he saying? He's putting that anointing in that bottle.
Yes.
So I mean, a powerful oil.
Yeah.
Because it's not the oil. It's him anyway that does it.
Well, I sure hate to
confirmed it.
You know, if you all have that oil you prayed over.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, you need to be sprinkling it on those people in your house and everywhere because they're going to get saved.
We're keeping the bottles with us because all three of us are doing this. Happened during our last prayer meeting.
Yeah.
And all three of us, the Lord has set us up with ministries. And so
there
we take
go.
The oil with us, and whenever the Lord puts on our heart to pray for somebody, we will have that little bottle with us.
Well,
I'm
just
not there.
Seen it.
I'm supposed to
I
find a little bottle
spirit,
and get some.
I just seen in the spirit realm, Cheryl, you have a 55-gallon drum of it.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
55-gallon drum. No, it's in on the back bumper of your car. You're taking it everywhere you go.
You know what? That reminded me when I used to live in Memphis. Brother Shambach had a meeting here.
Oh,
you
better not bring up names, guys. We're still being recorded.
Okay, well, you know,
be careful.
A long time ago.
The minister.
And he
the
had
minister.
This bucket of oil.
Yeah.
And when you went up to be prayed for, he just slapped you with that oil.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was 30-weight motor oil. No, I
don't. Well, we know that this oil has power in it because it was seen and felt both. So I can't
wait
to see what God's going to do with it.
I'm believing that when you lay it on and put it on people, I tell you, or put it on prayer cloths and give it to people, or you put it on, you know, like the people that's over at Cheryl's house, you put it in on their, touch their pillows with it or something, I guarantee you they're already, they don't know, but they've already gotten saved. They just don't know it. These people are going to come to the Lord. They just don't know what. They're going to say, what got a hold of me last night? And you're going to start laughing. I know what it is. The Holy Ghost got
on
you.
Well, guess who got the first doses of that oil?
Who's that?
Guess who got the first doses, the ones that was here. I took that oil right off the bat, and we anointed each other's heads with it.
Amen.
Every one of us. And we did it in the spirit for Lee.
Amen.
She's supposed
Praise
to send me
God.
A bottle, so I'm going to put a little bit in hers. But it was just a little dinky bottle to begin with. I need to hold a gallon jug next time.
Yeah, you need to go out there and get like 2-gallon jugs of it.
Never mind.
Go ahead.
Just
no, I was
going to
ask him where he lived, and I was thinking we're on the air.
Who, me? I'll tell you where I live.
I
live down here in the Ozark Hills. I'm not a hillbilly, but I... Huh?
Yeah.
That
Southwest
is so
Missouri.
Pretty down there.
Yeah, I stand on my front porch with a hay piece of straw out of my mouth. No, I'm not a hillbilly.
Well, I'm down in Texas.
I love everybody. Are you down in Texas?
Yeah.
Is that where you're at right now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where at?
You know where the Toledo Bend Lake is?
No.
I live right at that lake. It's Louisiana in Texas.
Oh, you're down here on the you're on the southwest side.
Southeast side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
not
where
too,
we used to run from the hurricanes.
I'm right at that edge. I'm 100 miles from Beaumont. So when that oil thing comes in, that's what they've been telling that there'll be evacuation.
Sister, I'm telling you right now, you already know this. The Lord's already showed it to you, but there is going to be a hurricane that is going to hit down in that area, and it will drive it up in there. It's been kind of covered over. Been lied about, but we're going to see the results of it, and it's going to be devastating. But that's the reason why the word, you're doing it, the word's got to get out. And I'm telling you, that's what's so important. I tell people the day and age that we're living in and getting ready to approach into, anything's liable to happen. There could be a white flash of light, and you'd be vaporized. You know what I'm saying?
In one day, we don't know.
From one day to the next,
we have no idea what's coming.
That's right.
Rita came through here, and it did a lot of damage to my trailer. And they tore it down and gave me another little bitty trailer.
it's off
of Sabine River.
Yeah, and it just had to just be hooked into the King, the Holy Ghost, and
right.
And I know
I wouldn't move unless he told me to, or unless
exactly.
he told me exactly what to do.
Yep, there it is.
That's it. He's got you planted there for a reason.
Yeah, right.
He says,
it's like
stand
I'm here in the Ozarks.
See the salvation.
Amen. I said, I'm here in the Ozarks, so, there's a reason I'm here. He won't let me leave, so.
So are you right down? Are
a
you
good place to be, I think.
Are you right down in the middle of the Ozarks then? Where
No, I'm southwest Missouri, down here by Kansas and Oklahoma border. Right there
so
in Missouri.
So are you actually in the mountains?
On the outside. I could get about 45 minutes if I jump on the interstate, I'd be in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I
I'm out here.
Too. Boy, that's so pretty
just,
down there.
Yeah, it just got out, you know, just right on the outskirts of it.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah,
that's
it's pretty. The, all
country.
The leaves are changing. It's pretty down in here. But
oh, I bet this time of
year. You know,
wow.
I'm not living in it. I'm up here on the plateau plain where
okay.
the all the farming stuff is. So.
Yeah, we're right next to the Missouri River, right next to the Iowa-Nebraska border.
Yeah.
In what they call Tree City, USA. But that's
uh-huh.
because the Tree of Life is here.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, we got trees.
I know it's at
they
your house, too.
Trees.
What's that?
Sister Cheryl's, it's at your house, too. The Tree of Life. It's there at your house.
Yeah.
Hey, we
you
got a lot
licked,
of places
you,
where the Tree of Life is growing up, huh?
Yeah, you got it liquid form over there at your house, and you got it inside of you, too, so.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
We're trees, as men, trees walking. Men as
that's
trees
right.
walking.
Amen.
Like the Bible says.
Instead
yeah,
of a dead man walking.
Yeah,
amen.
We get, and then all, and when we get dead limbs, the Lord trims them back. So.
Yeah. I get pruned every day just about.
Yeah, same here.
Well,
yeah,
praise
some,
the Lord.
Some people get topped out, so. You know,
as long as we don't get our heads chopped off, we're okay.
No, yeah, we're still upright, taking on fluid, so we're doing
you
good.
You know, I got to thinking about the reason that they want to behead Christians. Think about the spiritual implications of that. Who's
yeah.
our head?
Yeah.
Jesus.
And they were
that's why John the Baptist's head was taken off. His
yeah.
ministry was going out and Jesus was coming in.
They really
yeah.
think
that's the way I see it anyway.
They really
yeah.
think that by beheading us, they can separate us from the Lord of glory? I don't
yeah.
think so.
No,
they just
no,
brought us closer.
Yeah, we just got freed.
Yeah, they have
that's
no idea.
It's
like blood sacrifices. They're sacrificing animals and stuff instead of the Lord of glory, instead of trusting in his blood sacrifice.
Amen.
They're trusting in the blood of these animals to save
yeah.
them and
yeah.
protect them. Hello.
Come on, wake up, folks. You know, that's called insanity.
Amen.
Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Well, that's what voodoo priests and stuff do.
Yeah.
They kill their friends and all that stuff. And that's what they sprinkle that blood around, and that's supposed to protect them. Well,
yeah,
we got the blood of the Lamb, the
amen.
One and only sacrifice that counts above all.
That's right, the creator of this world. This
no more sacrifices needed.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm going to start preaching again.
Amen. Cut it loose, sister.
All right. Well, I suppose we better get off
yeah.
of here.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you joining in with us.
Oh, I appreciate it. I mean, I really enjoy it. I just love the Lord, love everybody. Just trying to be a love bug, that's all.
Amen.
All of us. So
amen.
It's good that we can share because we got to put it out as long as Jesus puts it in.
Amen.
And I really appreciate you, Lee, staying up so late
yeah.
all the time
thank
to help
you.
Me with this. You
that's
have no fine. Idea. I think I might have to move to 11 o'clock.
That's fine.
Yeah. It is cut out some riffraff.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know.
It bites some others in, though, I think, at times.
Yeah, yeah, because I know there was a couple of them that got in there and left. I don't know if they were probably going to bed or something. They were in your
yeah.
chat room for a little bit and took off.
Well, I'll
to
have
bed.
To check out the chat before I hit it for the night.
Yeah.
I only catch part of it, so I'll
just,
have to
just
yeah,
one
that's
cue.
Why I didn't put in a time.
This one cue, sister, and I'll end it at this note. You need to check it out. There was this one guy that was in there that you need to keep an eye on next time he comes
okay.
in.
All righty.
So, You'll see it in there.
Okay. Well, thank you, because I missed it completely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys have a good night.
You too, ma'am. God bless.
I love you.
Good night, child.
Good night.
Bye. God bless. Bye-bye.
Did you stop?